This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 20th, 2022. The Third Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I am who I am. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We live in a day and an age when everyone wants everything explained to them. Won't believe it unless you can explain it to me. I need to understand it. That is not faith. We live a life of faith. Exactly what it is. Faith is something that we have that goes beyond proof. We believe things that the world looks at as so much ridiculous teaching. Bread and wine becoming the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trinity, one and three in one. That doesn't make any sense. You can't explain that. And then, of course, the old, well, how could there be a God if this happened and if that happened? And that? The mysteries of faith. Faith is a mystery. When God introduces himself to us, first reading today, he sets a stage for, you're not going to get it. I'm going to give you enough to understand what you need to do, but you're not going to get it because I'm God and you're not. You're not going to understand why I do the thing. My, as he says in other parts of Scripture, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We have to appreciate that. This is faith. This is what we live. He said the foundation is set for how God deals with us. And this isn't Moses. And we will start with this. Moses, this dramatic Bible story. Everybody loves this one. This is high drama. Little kids love this one, the burning bush. You look at the burning bush story. It's really very skeletally when you look at the pattern of what God's doing with Moses. He attracts him. He presents something to him that makes him curious. A bush over there, it's on fire and it's not being consumed. Let me go see this wondrous sight. Starts walking over there. Check it out. He gets close. Moses. Now things are changing. Well, it's a burning bush, not consumed. Now all of a sudden, I'm hearing voices. Moses. Yes. Come no further. Take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy. That's enough for Moses. He not only takes off his shoes, he puts his face in the dirt. I like the old versions. Moses durst not look upon the Lord. So God attracts him, but then he sets parameters for him. You're not going to approach me on your own terms, Moses. You're not going to see something that's attractive and just come walking over. You're going to do it in accord with the way I want you to do it. And then after discourse and Moses arguing with the Lord, that's pretty bold. But after he argues with the Lord is like, okay, we're done. Go. And Moses goes. Hold that pattern in your mind because it isn't just Moses' drama. It's our drama. Every single person who comes to church, no matter where that might be, church as in the church, or other groups of Christians, they are attracted for some reason. This attraction does not stop. It's not a matter of Moses looking to burn a bush. Okay, God sent me. I'm good now. No. There was a whole lot of Moses doubting and Moses doing things he was told not to do or going over and above what the Lord wanted. And he paid the price for that. But it was a constant attraction. God, even in chastisements, God attracts Moses more and more. This is us. This story is here for us. Ours is a lot less dramatic than Moses'. but it is exactly the same. So, you know, Moses, I said this, it's mysterious how this works. It worked one way for Moses. It works another way for each and every one of us as individuals. But it always works the same way. That's always the same pattern. I said before, and God presents it, you're not going to get this, Moses. The same thing he says implicitly to us by this story is the way he presents himself. Because one of the things that Moses, after he's arguing this, arguing that, well, who am I supposed to sent me? Like he's expecting God to say, tell him Bob Smith sent you. That's not the deal. Well, I mean, why do we have names? We have names to separate us from other individual people. We have names. That's Bob, that's Steve, that's William, that's Mary, that's Jane. But there's a whole lot of people with those names. So we have surnames. That's William Holiday. That's this, Jane Smith. That's why it differentiates. But if you look hard enough, there's somebody that's got your name. They're a person. They have your same name. If you had a bunch of people with the same name in the room, there would be kind of confusion. God is beyond that. We have names to differentiate us from other people. There is no other God. Okay, this is the point he's trying to get across. The Jews were really into this name thing. Huge. I mean, it's ancient Semitic practice. Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob is wrestling with the theophany. I'm not going to let you go until you what? Tell me your name. Why do you want to know my name? And there is no answer. Jacob is just crippled for the rest of his life, and he goes about God's business. There's your answer. Moses, because in ancient Semitic culture, if you knew someone's name, it puts you on, maybe not an equal par, but it puts you in a context of familiarity with them. God's not going to have that. You don't understand who I am. I'm God. I'm transcendent. You can't understand me, so I'm not even going to go there with this name thing. I don't need a name because, like I said, I don't need to be differentiated from any other gods. I am who I am. That I am who I am. I'm not going to get into the philosophical thing about that whole deal about being eternal and self-existent and immutable in the source of all being, because that's what he's talking about, right? But if you really look at it closely, the philosophical stuff behind it's not, that's not the issue. It is him communicating himself as being transcendent. I am who I am. In this case, I am he you cannot know. We cannot know God. If we could, he wouldn't be God anymore. He's the creator. We're the creatures. He's infinite. We're finite. We conceive of things in a way that it goes beyond our capacity to even intellectually try to play with these ideas, like eternity. Eternity. What's that? Always was, is, always will be. You'll make yourself crazy because you can't get that. Everything has a beginning for you. Okay? You have a birthday. You have a point when you started. And you're going to have a point when you die. Linear time. Linear time. Point A to point B. A beginning and an end. That's linear time. That is an aspect of the created order. God is not bound by the created order. He's the creator. And you have to appreciate that. He's transcendent. He's there. We're not. Contrary to the way he's sung about and talked about in a lot of places in our day and age, like he's your buddy, he's not. He's God Almighty. You'll never understand him. This is where we get this understanding. So he's talking about his transcendence. I am he who you cannot know. You can know of me, but you can't know me. The angels in heaven don't know all the divine. They have to be told things. They go and come at God's will. God sent Gabriel to announce the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gabriel didn't say, I know what God's will. I know God. I'm up here in heaven with him. No, he didn't understand. Even the angels in heaven don't understand God. They don't get it. They get it a lot better than we do, but they don't get it. When God says, I am who I am, he's talking about his nature. I am absolute being. I don't have a beginning and an end. I am just always God. You have a beginning and an end. That's the parameters in which you live. You can't understand anything else. I can, because I'm God. I can understand your deal, but you can't understand mine. This is why he presents himself like this. And so I hated grammar when I was in school because I didn't do well at it. Diagram the sentence. Hate that kind of stuff. But it does come in handy occasionally. When God presents himself like this, he uses a case grammatically. It's called the causative case, which is kind of self-explanatory. Causative, the cause of. Well, yeah, he's the creator. It goes beyond that. We think of God as a creator. We think he's a creator of stuff. The creator of heavens and earth, things visible and invisible. He's a creator. He is the cause of the present situation because he's always just intensely present. God goes beyond our understanding of even creation. God does it. We have free will, but we're using our free will, whether it be for good or for bad, you're going to fulfill God's will and his plan. No one will thwart his plan. He might have to choose other people to do what he wants. Judas to Matthias. I want 12 apostles. He betrayed my son. He's gone. He's out of the picture. Matthias. God will fix things because we do have free will. But again, he is the cause of the situation, not just us, not just stuff. So when we look at this divine mystery, as God, he presents himself in a way that we can not grasp and a way we can grasp. It's burning bush. He presents himself initially as, I am who I am. You can't grasp that. But then what does he say immediately? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, you know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. You know the stories. I'm that God who worked through them. So I am that I am. You cannot grasp me. But I will give you something that you can grasp. That's our life of faith. This is God. We're not going to get it. So when, you know, bad things happen, you know, we don't point the finger and wag it up. God doesn't know what he's doing because so-and-so died in my family. God doesn't know what he's doing because I got cancer. God doesn't know what he's doing because I lost my job. That's not the will of God. I get nauseous when I hear people say that, particularly Catholics. That's not God's will. Then whose was it? Everything is God's will. It's his will that you do right, and when you don't, he will fix it one way or another. Everything is God's will, and you're not going to thwart it. This is a very dramatic scene with Moses, God presenting himself, but it applies to each and every one of us. Every one of us. This whole pattern. God enters your life in some way where he attracts you. That can be for some people, a date, a time. I heard this, I watched this, I heard this homily, this happened in my life, and I decided to come to Christ. It doesn't stop there. Just like Moses, as I said before, it's a continual attraction. Moses was attracted in the Exodus in the desert. Moses lapsed, Moses did this, Moses did that, but everything that happened brought him closer and closer to God. The same thing happens. God, he appears in a way in our life that's going to attract us. For most of it's over a period of time. We don't have this dramatic wow kind of thing. It's just a slow process of him continually attracting. But there are some things in life, in this parish for instance, there are some objective things that God will do that gets people moving along in their faith. The liturgy. They're present around here. We get a lot of visitors. And we get a lot of, what? Because they've lived their life of Catholicism for 50, 60 years, and they only know one kind of liturgy. Oh, that's what you do at church. That's what's going on. And then they come here. Why don't you guys do this? Because Scripture prohibits it. I've never heard that before. Why is it so quiet in here? You know, this must not be a very vibrant parish. It's dead. No, the scriptures say that we should approach God, you know, in silence. They deepen their faith. They get more and more attracted to God by the way he presents himself in the liturgy. Even as we walk our faith, there's a lot more people here today than there were when we transitioned into the Catholic Church. A whole lot more people. And a boatload of them are converts. We got a couple confirmations going to go on today. These people had a very strong faith in Christ before, but he attracted them deeper and deeper. And today, they're going to become members of the Catholic Church. This is what I mean by this. We can see this in our day, continually happening. God attracting people. And once he attracts you and you start believing, he will attract you more and more. He will bring you closer to him. That's the way it's supposed to work. So you look at this attraction thing. Then he properly orients us. That whole thing with take your shoes off, Moses. You're not going to approach me on your terms, Moses. You're attracted to this. You come sauntering over here, but you need to stop right there because I'm holy. You need to take your shoes off. Moses got it. Like I said, he put his face in the dirt because he knew that that was God. And he knew that you don't, oh my gosh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, I'm averting my eyes. Yes, you should. You know, this is God. We do not approach God on our own terms. So all your Protestant friends, me and my Bible, me and the Holy Spirit, sounds nice, but it's wrong. It's wrong. It flies in the face of this. Take off your shoes, Moses. Well, no, I don't think so. I got sensitive feet, and this is the desert and all whatnot. Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. God puts parameters on us. And sometimes we don't understand that. I do a lot of explaining to people who visit this place every now and then. Why this? Why that? Why that? That's good. That's God attracting. They're asking questions. Moses asked questions. We should ask questions. Our Lord Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Kind of interesting being that he's told his apostles at least three times that we know of that it had to happen. But while it was happening, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because reality struck. God doesn't care if you ask questions. He wants you to ask questions. You just need to understand, sometimes he may answer you, but a lot of times he will not. It's the mysteries of faith. We just deal with them. Then he sends. He sent Moses. He sent. It doesn't matter what your vocation is in life. It doesn't matter what you do. God has sent you. To do what? To teach people to do all that Jesus Christ commanded. That's called the Great Commission. Matthew 28. These are our marching orders. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. You have to do that. You have to do that. And first and foremost, by living your life. Because you are the one that God will use as a conduit to attract other people to you. That's all that. Oh, you know, God doesn't know what he's doing. It's because something bad happened in my life. Something bad can happen in your life, and people who don't know Christ can watch the way you react to it, and that attracts them. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that a wife or a child died in their life, and they still go to church. Some of it, they go to church more often. They don't get that. That's attractive to them. That's how God works. Moses got a burning bush. Some people, you know, and unfortunately, the way God works, beyond our understanding, we might be the ones that are the attraction. And it might not necessarily be pretty. But you always need to know that God's working. Whether it be for good or bad, he is always working. And we are the ones who are supposed to reflect his work in this world. So, about God, we have some foundational facts about him. We have some foundational facts of our faith. Kind of interesting that we have one book. Well, that's actually a compendium of books in the Bible. But it's a book about yay thick. And that tells us everything we need to know about our salvation, eternal life with God Almighty in heaven. One book. You'd think he like would, you know, present us with like an encyclopedia or something to answer all the questions. Nope, this is good enough for you. This is what you need to know about salvation. We have foundational information, a basic orientation, but a definite mission. But it's mostly mysterious. We just got to be like Moses. We got to step back, and when the mystery, we're confronted with it, and we don't understand it, we need to step back and understand what Christ wants us to do and do it. And that's present him in this world. No matter what the circumstances may be, no matter how scared you may be about it, this is the mysteries of our faith. But that's what it is, a faith in the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost.